All right. Brothers and sisters, I want to welcome you to this week's Black Wallace Matter Town Hall meeting. We were supposed to be talking with Brother George and summarizing all of the things that we were. Oh, hey, Brother George, how are you?
Peace, Brother Lou. Peace, everybody.
Thank
all right.
You.
Peace.
We're going to get the ball rolling without you, Brother George. You know, nine.
I know how you roll.
Yeah. So, all right, well, cool. Then I will, let me just finish saying what I'm going to say, and I will give you the floor. So, so what we're going to do tonight is Brother George has been compiling notes from most of the things that we said or from all of the things that we said during the past few weeks. During this engagement series, and then so what he's going to do is present a summary of the sentiment. Hold on, let me mute everyone. And so what he will do tonight is present a summary of the characteristics that that we've identified as a group, as an organization, and what I'm thinking we can do from there. I don't know how extensive his list is, but maybe we could figure out some things that work for us, some things that don't work, some things that we can agree upon, and then use them as organizational characteristics, and then from that point hopefully we can identify corresponding behaviors with those characteristics, and then that will give us as Brother Leonard always says, that will give us some degree of cultural collectivity. So that is the agenda for tonight. And so let me open up the floor to Brother George. And let me set it so all right, Brother George. Oh, wait. Brother George?
Yes, sir.
All right.
So what I'd like to first do is read individuals' list, because there were some things that were said that I think bear repeating, just to provide that contextual emphasis. So I believe the first one I have is Sister Mize. She had 10 traits, and then she had 10 action pieces and 5 traits. So I'll read the 10 first.
But let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Do you have like a master list? Like, is there a total list? Because, I mean, we're not going to be able to, like, remember. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I do. But there were just things that were said that I thought.
No, okay. I just wanted, because I wouldn't be able to, like, remember everything.
To go through all that. One thing I am not sure on, though, is do we have everybody?
Well, since there was a lot of overlap in the sentiment, we don't really need, we don't really
everybody.
Need everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Okay. We just need to get, like, in the ballpark, and then, whoever's here now, we can say, hey, I said this, how does everyone feel? Because I think, from what I remember, I mean, it's going to be about 40 different.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably going to be more than that, right? Yeah. So, I don't know if we want to actually go through all of them, but I'm thinking maybe, like, some that stand out, some that have some overlap. So we can agree or disagree if it's something to be shared.
I'll just start with the summary part first, and the themes that came up most, and then we can go from there. Does that make sense?
Okay. Makes sense, Scott.
All right. So words that pop up the most: intellect.
Hold on. Let me create another.
List.
Yeah. Okay. So, intelligence. All right, there you go, brother. You hear me? Brother George? Oh, he got cut off. Can anybody hear me? Press star six if you guys can hear me. We just lost a few people. I cut people off. Somebody press star six if you can hear me. Hello? Oh, okay. All right. All right. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know what happened. The call just, okay. Thank you. All right. Thank you, guys. We just lost. Just like we just lost like three people, including. Okay, so there goes. Okay, so Brother Leon is back, and so where'd Brother George go? Okay, Brother George got knocked off. Well, you know what? This would be a good time to see how good Brother Leonard is when he pulls stuff out of his hat. Brother Leonard. Brother Leonard.
Yeah, how you doing, Brother Lou?
How you doing? We got some dead air, brother. Take it away.
Oh, do we? That's all right.
Take it away, brother.
Right. Yeah. Have you seen Black Panther yet, man?
No, I have not. No, I have not, brother.
I'm gonna put you on timeout, Lou. I'm gonna put you on timeout.
I told you, my son.
Remember your son? Yeah, his son was on punishment. But that's good, man. Stay with that, man, because when he finally gets off punishment and you go. Do you have two sons or a son and a daughter? I can't remember.
No, I have a son and a daughter.
Right, right. Well, they'll both enjoy it once all three of you go together collectively. I was just thinking about this last week, and I really, really, really would like to continue on these workshops that you have to kind of evaluate all of us a little bit to see where we stand, because with Mai and I going through this book, there's a lot of interesting things that George has touched on, but I think there are some things that even I saw and Mai pointed out to me on the business side of things, and I would just like to encourage us to kind of continue this a little bit, but also have some of the members have some input on how we want this to look, to be designed, because I really think that there's something that we all can get from it, and it opens up our eyes and answers a lot of questions as to why we're where we're at. But other than that, I'm excited for the show. So it's just me and you on the line right now, or people coming back?
No. There's more people. Brother George, he got kicked off. I don't know.
Okay.
But he'll be back on. So here's the thing. In the book, so what the process is, what this process is, it's first identifying mutual characteristics. So some of the ones, I guess he was going to go through, like, the intelligence and the humor and the talent and some of the things that that everyone expressed, throughout the course of the week. And then once we identify that, then it was like, okay, so it's like we can bond and we can all agree under these terms. These are the terms. And so a perfect example is, like, the situation like that happened, like last week, right? Part of the thing is, being able to agree to disagree, but still being able to move forward, move ahead with the organization, move ahead with the goals of the organization. And that's something that him and I discussed, behind the scenes. We were like, I was like, listen, this is this engagement series. This is an excellent idea, something I wouldn't have thought of, so just because we had a disagreement or miscommunication about something, that doesn't mean that the organization doesn't still move forward. So once we came to that cultural collectivity that you always speak about, the next plan was to go about having like that. It's like the book club thing. I don't really want to call it a book club, but it's basically taking passages out of his book, out of Powernomics, out of some other important books, and then using those as focal points and lesson points, right? So specifically like out of Powernomics, there's some things that, okay, the brother's back. There's some things that that Dr. Claude Anderson speaks about in terms of the history of slavery and how it was used as, you know, as an economic tool, right? And I tell people that all the time. I don't have all the eloquent, you know, words and things that the way that he explains it, but I simply say, listen, I know, you know, people are upset about slavery, but, like, understand this. Slavery was a business proposition. That's what it was. It was just a, it was a business
right.
thing. And Dr. Claude Anderson, he breaks that down. Then he also breaks down how the racism is being used now, you know, and it may seem invisible, but like how, you know, how it's implemented to create these monopolies and these barriers to entries in certain social, economic, and political arenas. I think allowing everyone to have that understanding, be all on the same page, and then so when you go out there and you're discussing what it is that, you know, this organization is about, you know, so one of the main things, like-minded, right? So we've been saying like-minded for a while, but now Brother George actually has the characteristics that define like-minded. He actually has
right.
that. And so when
right.
we go out and we speak to someone and we say like-minded, and then we're saying that means this, and this. If a person, they have the majority of those qualities, they may be a good fit. If they have none of those qualities, then it's like, hey, you know what? Then this isn't for you. And that helps us. So that's the plan. So that's the plan moving forward with these calls. So after we finish with this here, this part, we're going to continue on, you know, a group education so that we all can have a solid foundation understanding, you know, in how this game has been played against us. Understanding the rules and understanding some of the countermeasures that we have to implement. I mean, so the blueprint rolls lays things out, you know, pretty good based on that. But now we're able to attach action with reason. You understand
right.
what I'm saying? So it's not just
right,
me
right.
saying we need to do this because, you know, we have third party data, third party corroboration, and it's like that's why we're doing this, and that's why we're doing this. And as you go out and you explain what's going on to other people who may be like minded, you can say, well, this is what Black Wallace Matter is set up to do, you know, to for that countermeasure. All right.
Right. Right. And the one thing I wanted to talk about, and I'm glad you mentioned Claude Anderson, and you've probably seen this, but somebody sent it to me, and I sent it out. And this is one of his statements. It says, you need to build your own businesses and hire your own children. It's absolutely criminal to keep having babies and then sending them into somebody else's neighborhood to beg for a job, Dr. Claude Anderson. So I'm glad that we're using him because he's a deep brother, and George Frazier too as well.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
All
excellent.
Right, Brother
Thanks.
George. Yep, no problem. Thank you, Brother Leonard. Brother George.
Okay.
Yep, we lost you there.
So,
welcome back, brother.
My apologies, brother. First, Tuesday is a crazy night for me. That's church rehearsal night, and I'm usually breaknecking to get some choir rehearsal to get back to my office and be in a place where I sound like I got it all together, which obviously I'm not sounding like that right now. So my apologies. And then my phone went out, so it's been one of those nights. So the things that came out on a regular basis several times repeated are the following. Intellect, humor, loyalty, integrity, commitment, open-minded, and dependability. So those came out, those were the ones that popped out regularly enough that shows me that of all the groups, of all the members in this group on this call, these are the consistent characters we would like to see.
Okay, so what is that? That seven characteristics. Okay, so I thought it would be, a bunch more, seven. Okay.
Yeah. Well, the other side, when I look at the list, I look at the what, and then I look at a lot at some of the others as the how to do it or how to get.
Your phone is breaking up again, brother. You're going in and out.
All right, hold on a minute.
Is this any better?
That's excellent. That's much better.
Much better? Okay.
Yeah.
So there were a lot more characteristics written down, but when I break them down, I look in terms of what to be, and then I look at some of the others as how to be them or how to apply them, if that makes any sense.
Okay, so how do we apply? So how do we apply these things?
So before we get to exactly that, so let's take Vaughn. Vaughn has some really powerful characteristics.
Brother
Vaughn. Trendsetter. We want to be leaders and put forth something different. So that is I look at that as an action item.
As a who?
As an action.
Leaders. Huh.
Yeah, I look at that more as an action than as a characteristic. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Let's everyone else weigh in. This is for all of us. This is for us to come to a consensus. I don't want
right.
to, you know, I don't want to weigh in. So anyone wants to weigh in on that, well, actually, we would appreciate if everyone would kind of participate, because what we're doing, we're defining the characteristics and the actions so that we'll be able to look out amongst the masses and be able to identify and find people who are like-minded. We also want to be able to say that these characteristics, they identify me. They describe me. So far we have intelligence, humor, loyalty, integrity, commitment, open-mindedness, and dependability. So hold on for a second, Brother George. Sister Mai. Brother George. Brother George, there you go.
Okay, brother.
Hi. I think those 10 that you went over, good evening, everybody. I'm sorry. I think that those 10... Oh, fine. I can say yes, they're me, and yeah, let's do it. I think that would be. I'm sorry.
It's seven characteristics so far.
Oh, seven. I thought you said it was ten or something. Seven is a perfect number. It's number of completion. I'm good with that too. But just move on.
I'll tell you some other ones that. From that we said last week that I think should be included. We feel that we are not powerless and that we can actually do something to change our situation. I think that should be like paramount, right? Because before someone is intelligent, before they're anything, they need to actually look at this situation and be like, you know what? I'm not going to be beaten down by this. I'm going to be strong. I think that we can do something. And I think the characteristic that I'm looking for, or the word, is like a winner. Like your personality, you have that of being a winner. You've experienced setbacks in your life, and then the way that you've dealt with them was in a positive way.
Sister
Shauna and I always talk about this.
So,
I'm sorry.
In your particular list, Brother Lou, in your particular list, you use the word scrappiness. You like the word scrappiness, and you further defined it by being able to make a way out of no way. Is that getting more to what you're talking about, or are you talking about a different angle?
Last week, I had spoken with a few members specifically, last week, a lot of people had a lot of stuff going on in their personal lives, including me, and everybody was like, yeah, you know what, and still was taking on more stuff, not to mention the responsibility of BWM. You understand what I'm saying? And it dawned on me when I was talking to them, I was like, God damn, you got all this stuff going on, and you still put them on your shoulder. And it's like, you know, I'm built for it, right? You know, tip the hat to Sister Shauna. She's the one that said that specifically, not to tell us anything. You're still live, sister. So what I'm saying is, when we were talking and I was speaking to the other individuals, I'm realizing that's an immense personal strength. It's an immense personal strength, and when you have that, I think that Sister Mai is a crazy advocate. Like she's like. I don't know where she is all day. Probably, I don't know where she, but she's like this. Like she keeps her ear to the street, to what's going on. She has her finger on the pulse of exactly what's going on with all kinds of things. That's willing. That's feeling that she has the power to change our situation. It's like, let me aggregate all the resources, all the things that I could. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't really even think that's scrappiness. I mean, you have to be a winner. I was talking with Brother
Paul. Can I just add to that? Thank you. I actually just got off of another call where it's the founder of Black Don't Crack, and not that she invented that word or that expression because we know it's been around since longer than us, but she actually trademarked that phrase, Black Don't Crack, and she has a store and she's selling T-shirts and hats and aprons and all kinds of things with that phrase on it, with her little logo that's just simply that, Black Don't Crack. And she explained that it meant basically overcomer, and that's the word that she didn't say the word overcomer, but that's what I'm hearing. I feel like you were saying, you know, as a winner or resilience or whatever, I feel like maybe overcoming might be the word or overcomer. But, you know, to her, it when we all hear Black Don't Crack on the surface, we typically think about how Black people basically age well and don't usually look their age physically. But for her, it was a personal story about her journey, about how, you know, she just didn't crack. She had a lot of things, you know, going on in her life that went wrong, as a lot of us do. And like you were just speaking to, have a lot going on, period. And yet we don't crack. We don't give, or we don't succumb to that. We basically thrive. I mean, we use it and turn it into, we get, you know, our strength from the ancestors, from God, from wherever, you know, it comes, and we overcome. So I want to offer that maybe that's the word overcoming that maybe you're looking for, or something that means overcoming. If there's a better word.
It's all right. So here's what we do. The vast majority of us, we survive. We survive, and if you know stuff is thrown our way, we survive it. The way that I handle adversity, my challenges, it's like I want to get back what I lost and more. Like Sister Shauna is like, I want to get back what I lost and more. You understand what I'm saying? This situation that we have going on here with our folks, right, it's like, you know what, we could get to a certain level, but it's like I want us to get to that level and more. And so it's a different type of mindset. It's not like, oh, let me just be strong enough to deal with this. Or you see what I'm saying? So like when you're saying, yeah. So I guess like when you're
can
saying black. Sorry.
I was going to say, so my personal mindset, and I wasn't going to say it until you just said that. I was saying it because I feel like most people can relate with overcoming, because most of us are in the survival type of mindset. Versus learning, but honestly, my personal like mantra, the way that I feel, is basically a spirit of excellence. And I don't, you know, I don't like to say that necessarily too often. And as my husband mentioned, we were going through this book again last night, and, you know, things came up that where we were, you know, answering a question, and one of them was, you know, do you know how powerful you are? And it's like,
you have us on speakerphone? You have us on speakerphone, sister?
No, I don't, but I'll take you. I have you on my headset, but hold on, I'll take you off.
Okay, is it better?
Oh, excellent. Yeah, much better. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So I was saying, like Linda mentioned, we were going through the book again, and one of the questions was, you know, we were answering was, do you know how powerful you are? And, you know, when answering that, we answered it for ourselves, and then we answered it in terms of our perception of each other, what we thought each other's answers were, or what we saw in each other. And, you know, he told me something that makes me, like I said, not necessarily want to say that I have a spirit of excellence, because I just feel like, you know, he just said basically I do things at a high level and I communicate them well, and I expect everybody else to kind of do the same. I think that if I can communicate it well enough that anybody else should be able to do it too. And he just said that most people really aren't like that. So I feel like that's kind of what you were saying, is the spirit of excellence,
yes,
you know,
yes,
getting
yes,
something back and more. But, you know, but do we need to be careful that and mindful that not everybody thinks like that?
No, I know. I mean, it's you know, it's just something to throw out there. Because the bottom line is, right, you have to have to realistically want to do something, to want to participate with a group of brothers and sisters, to put a plan in action and execute that plan. That has to be your mindset. Because if you're just saying, well, you know, I just want to get by, I just want to survive, I mean, you can just go out there and, you know, and live till your time is up, and, you know, chances are things probably won't get that much worse. They've gotten worse over the course of my life. They've gotten, like, I think we're at, like, code red right now, because despite what was going on in the 70s and the 80s or whatever, the mindset that we currently have is just like unreal to me. And so I think that if we don't become proactive with the things that we do to try to reclaim our people, to start putting things in place to change what the social norms are, because I think that's another big problem, right? It's like everything is okay now. There's no taboo. There's no social norms. There's no expectancy for you to do the right thing. And that you know, it wasn't like that when we grew up. And so, you know, for us to take that on, we have to be proactive. We have to feel that we're not powerless, that we can actually do this. And I think, realistically speaking, I think that's like one of the main qualities that we're going to need, especially in an organization like this, because as Brother Yvonne always says, it's going to take some time, and you got to be down for the fight. You got to be like just willing, ready to just like slug it out. And you have to have that heart of a champion, that heart of a winner, that you got to, I think that's like absolutely necessary, but that's just me. We can, you know, we can weigh in on it later.
Right.
So that's
a better word. Heart of a champion. I like that.
Okay, cool. I'll put that. Heart of a champion. Who else likes heart of a champion? Let's see here. I'm going to put that. Heart of a champion. And then I'll put what the description is. Sister Shauna loves, of course you do, because you're a champion. You inspire me almost every other day. Brother Vaughn, hold on. Okay. Sister Shauna, let me let you weigh in on that. Oh, I blocked you, sister. Yes, Sister Shauna. What happened?
I'm sorry. Mute that all the way. Sister Tasha is listening, and I'm echoing from her.
Okay.
I was just saying I like that, heart of a champion, the description of it. I absolutely believe that. I mean, because it kind of describes, kind of puts two descriptions together. You know, being willing to go hard and go forceful with something and, you know, want to do it to the highest. So it kind of puts the description of, you know, that's two adjectives together.
Okay. All right, cool.
So I love it, yeah.
Okay, cool. So we got Heart of a Champion. Brother Vaughn. Brother Vaughn.
What's going on, brothers and sisters? Yeah, like I get what y'all say. That phrase means a lot because if all of us like of sound mind, if you got any type of mind frame and thought, like, and you know what it takes to be a champion, like, it's not that's something that's not given on no level of life. Period. Like, if you want to be the champion, you have to work a little harder than everybody else. You have to do a little more than everybody else. You have to work a little longer than everybody else. You have to be a little stronger than everybody else. Because if you're not, like, it's going to get shown somewhere throughout the tournament or whatever it is you're going through. And if you don't have the heart of a champion, like, you have to really have a champion's heart before you even get started to endure a lot of the stuff that you're going to see. Because a lot of these times, we're going to walk out of some of these places and have to really, like, high-five each other, and you know what I mean? Like, we just got out of a boxing match for real. And it's going to have to be that championship heart that keeps us going and gets us through a lot of this stuff that's going to come. So, heart of a champion is a beautiful thing.
All right, excellent. Got that. And Brother Jeff, you want to weigh in on that?
Brother Lou, brother, such a good evening. That one there is heartfelt. That one has great understanding, because just like Brother Vaughn just saying about the boxing thing, but it's like we're going to be starting from the ground up. So it's going to be like we're going to start in a push-up, and we're going to have to, you know, make ourselves all the way to our feet and stand up with our head up. So we're going to start from the ground, and we got to build this thing all the way up. So that heart of a champion is just going to take all that to get from that push-up to stand up with your head up. So that's what I go with. So
Thank you. Brother George, how about you, brother? How do you feel about that?
So I'm listening to you, and I put the characteristics in several different categories.
The heart of a champion? No, I mean your personal opinion, though, because this is, you know, you're,
okay.
This
okay.
is part
I got
of
you. Okay. Yeah. It's still the same thing, though. Heart of a champion, I think, relates to fearless. Brother Vaughn used that term, fearless. So heart of a champion, I think, is a powerful one. It definitely is a visual terminology that represents a fearlessness and a willingness to do what it takes to achieve a goal.
Okay.
So it definitely aligns with that concept.
Okay. Brother Leon. Brother Leon wants to weigh in. Yes, brother.
Okay. Well, good evening, brothers and sisters. Yeah, I agree with that too. Heart of a champion, it puts us in a position where when we're out there looking for our...
Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I agree with everything that was said, because that's a good wordage to use, heart of a champion, because what it does, the seven things we already agreed on that's going to find the like-minded people, well, in interviewing a person, either physically or just looking to see if that person would work with the cause, well, knowing those attributes, that's going to describe a heart of a champion, because all those attributes would describe a heart of a champion. So I'm 100% in agreement with that phrase.
All right, cool. Excellent, brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, Brother George, what do you got next?
Okay, so I'm trying to lay out this paradigm for you all to consider, because all of the words come as they were given as characteristics, but I see them in different categories. I see character. I see one as character. I see one as, I see some of these as action items. I see others as a mentality
a type of mentality, and then I see others as outcomes of these behaviors. So I try to put all of these groups into those areas. Does that make sense? What I'm saying?
Well, I'm trying. So you have mentality, you have action, and what was the other thing?
One is character. Two is action. Three is mentality. And four is outcomes of all of those characters, of all those characteristics or traits.
Okay. All right. So I'm following your lead because, I don't know what to do with that. Go ahead.
So you want me to keep going?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Okay. So the first few that I read out, I consider those characteristics or characters because they were the most repeated in everybody's list: intellect, humor, loyalty, integrity, commitment, open-minded. There were a couple that weren't said a lot, but I added it in there. One was soulful. Another one was resilient. Now, those weren't said by everybody, but I still think that they belong in that character trait.
Yeah, soulful. I do remember someone, I forgot who said it, but I do remember everyone jumping in on that and saying, yep, so soulful, yep, definitely.
And dependability. So actually, it's more than seven words. I can't, what's it, 2, 4, 6, 8?
I got 9.
9 words.
In terms of character. Right.
Yeah. All right. Then, but now those are what we want our members to be, what we want to be. This is how I'm looking at it. Then the words that I felt, the characters that I felt were action words were trendsetter, fearless. That's an action. I mean, it's also a mentality. So I kind of put them in both categories, but it's also a mentality. See, to be fearless is also an action. To be trendsetter is connotes action.
I kind of don't agree with trendsetter though.
Okay, tell me why. Go ahead. Tell me why.
Because you don't really need to pioneer anything. You don't really need to have like a crazy. Like, so being a trendsetter is like trying to go against like the grain, and I just don't think that's a characteristic that we really need. I think we need people who are saying, you know, we just need to be logical and have some common sense and have some decency. I think common decency should be a prime characteristic too, because that's essentially what we're trying to get to. We're trying to have decent people, and we're trying to be decent. And so being a trendsetter, I was a trendsetter, but I just don't really think it's requisite. I don't think that's necessary.
Okay. I'm not married to all of these. I'm just putting these out there. These are what people are saying. And so I'm putting them in this paradigm. And
no, I got it. Anyone can weigh in on this. Anyone who feels that trendsetter should be included, or whatever it is, then you can weigh in on that.
It's free to put wherever you want to put it. This is just how I was looking at it, so it's just from my perspective.
Okay.
But I'll put a question mark by that just because what your perspective is duly noted.
Okay, hold on. We have a couple of people weighing in. We have a couple of people weighing in on that. Hold on for a second. Okay, so Sister Latasha.
Yeah, my question is this. We are, as a group, as people itself, are trendsetters already. So, yes, I do believe that trendsetters should be included because it actually will help us step up our game and be more active and be, you know, just ready to go get it.
That's true. I think you raised a good point there because that's where this whole cultural misappropriation comes from, where other cultures take what we create and they make it their own, and they make the money off of it and leave us in. You make a good
right,
point.
Right, but now understand what we're saying, right? Now understand, we're not talking about us as a people, right? So we know that us as a people are trendsetters. We're talking about specific characteristics or actions of our members. So a perfect example, right? So you got Brother Will. Brother Will is an older guy. He's like 60-something. He's 100% in alignment with what the mission of this organization is. He's 65 years old. His action, he will not have the actions of a trendsetter. I don't know, but I'm just assuming he's not going to have the actions of a trendsetter. He's going to be like, man, listen, I'm going to go take care of my business and go out, play some golf, and enjoy my family. Those are not the actions of a trendsetter. The things that I do right now are pretty mundane. They're not the actions of a trendsetter. And so I don't think those are – so we're talking about characteristics and things to do to identify other like-minded members for this organization, not what we are as black folks is what I'm saying. Because I'm not disagreeing with you guys, but I just noticed what you say. You know, you're talking about the culture vultures and all of that, but that has really nothing to do with what we're – what this particular group is about. That's the black community, or that's the black population at large. We're talking about the people within this organization. They can be artistic, they can be trendsetters, they cannot. They can be boring for all we care, as long as they still agree that there's something wrong and kind of need to start working on it, need to make a plan and work on it. That's just my response to that, though, because I just want to clarify.
And what was that term you used? I don't think I've heard that before. Folks, culture vultures?
Culture vultures, yeah. They
I like
still
that.
Yeah. So, all right. So we got a few people weighing in on that. Okay, cool. Sister Rhonda, Sister Shauna, and Sister Mai. Sister Rhonda?
Yes. I don't think we should necessarily be labeled as trendsetters. Only given our history. And I'm this kind of person. I weigh the past and I look at what could be, and I'm not looking at trends in the respect that I know what happens. Sometimes we want to delete some parts of what happens to have a better outcome. And sometimes when we do that, the trend for us gets lost. I don't care about we know we've done computers. We are the best scientists on this planet. I'm not talking about that. We know our personal history, and our history has been nothing but degradation. And that part I don't want to see for our future, our children. I'm not concerned about scientists and whatnot. We know who we've been. I can't beat a dead horse. I'm not concerned with them other people. I'm concerned with what we can do as far as us being the best that we can be for our people in the future. Because I know it's not going to happen like in 5-6 years from now. I know that to be true. So trendsetter, I don't agree with that. Mm-mm.
She put a mm-mm at the end of that, bro. So you know that. All right, thank you, Sister Rhonda.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Shauna.
Lower your thing. I'm sorry, we both listening, which is probably silly. We probably could just use one phone. So I have mixed emotions about it, simply because I know when you use the word trendsetter, it just gives me different feelings. Trendsetter, I don't know. I just hear follower, right? So the person who set the trend
what?
Is not the follower, but
or follow.
I don't know. I get a different emotion with it. I don't necessarily dislike the trendsetter, but, it's kind of a personality trait. Trendsetters tend to stand out. They tend to be rambunctious and, you know, look at me, and you know,
yeah.
It's not bad or good. It's, you know, depending on where you put them. And I just, you know, when you, if you get the wrong kind of trendsetter, then you got a force to be reckoned with that could destroy the whole morale and momentum of the organization. But then again, that could be the person that, you know, is the biggest voice and the, you know, the biggest drum major for the organization. So that's what I mean. I have mixed emotions about it because, you know, I've met trendsetters that are buttholes, and I've met some that were great for business and organization. So, you know, I didn't give you a direct answer.
You explain how you and then also the other biggest thing, right? How will we even go about identifying them? Like, so now you said, you know, some people would be drawing attention to themselves and things like that. Well, let's say if they're a trendsetter, but, you know, you just caught them at a subdued moment. You caught them at – you wouldn't even be able to really identify that. So, okay.
Well, in answer to your question, and I'll just put this as a possibility of perception, isn't it possible that Black Lives Matter would be perceived as a trendsetter?
Say that one more time.
Isn't it possible that a successful organization as Black Wallets Matter could be perceived as a trendsetter?
Well, I agree with that. Yeah, that's true. And I hope that we do trendset because, you know, our people tend to be trendy. But I think the question, the way that I understood the question is, do we want to look for those kind of people? Like, do we want those kind of people? Like, the culture of this is my perception of it, okay, the way that I view it in my own head. And then, you know, correct me or, you know, dive in if it's,
right.
You know, just off base. My perception is that we are trying to create something new,
right,
or trying to put something together that's different from the way that it is right now.
Correct.
And it's almost like we want people that are willing to dive into something, but we almost want them to be a blank slate. Almost, you know, it's almost like we
right.
want them to be
right.
a blank slate.
Right.
And we're going to be the organization and the culture that we create. That's going to be the new trend that describes you know, the new Black American, or the way that, you know, Black Americans or Black folks deal with each other in business or whatever.
Right, I agree. When you put it in that term, I would agree with you. I'm not necessarily wanting to go out and look for a trend set specific in particular, because that could mean a whole bunch of things. But
right,
I think
that's where I'm getting
yeah.
at. It's like, that's why I say
right.
I have mixed emotions about it, because if you go out there with a trendsetter and they're, you know, rambunctious and got their
right.
own mindset about
right.
what they want to do, their own beliefs, their ideas, that's why they set trends, right?
Right.
Because
mm-hmm.
they're kind of,
yeah.
you know, but
yeah.
if they're, you know, we don't want them subdued, but we almost want them to be a blank slate in a place. And I don't know what place that is. I'm in my head. I'm just thinking, like, it's a place we want them to be a blank slate. We want them to be looking for something new. And when they get here, this culture is what's going to be new, and they're going to help us set the new trend of us.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I definitely see what you're saying. It can be perceived.
That's my perception.
Yeah, you're making a lot of sense, sister. I think, you know, depending on the context, I mean, because Brother Lou sees trendsetter from one perspective, you see it from another perspective. I think we have one person that saw it from a positive perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, it just depends on what context we want to put that in.
Well, the thing is, we're trying to come to a consensus. So I'm
right.
sitting here as we're going through this. I'm marking stars. So far we have a few people dissenting. And so we got a few more people in the queue, and we're going to let them weigh in. And because that's essentially what we're doing. We're coming. So you're presenting this information, and I'm trying to formulate a consensus. Because I, even though we went through those 10 points, right, we didn't really even go – well, we didn't go through all 10 yet. But even though we went through these points, we still really didn't even discuss, like, the individual parts. Like, so intelligence, humor, loyalty, integrity, right, we got to define how we would be able to discern that. You know, commitment, right? We, you know, there's really no way for us to kind of like put our finger on that when we, when we're meeting a person. Open-mindedness is definitely something that we would have to, that we can identify, and we, and, you know, and I think that needs to have a star next to it. You know, so dependability is kind of sort of the same thing like loyalty and commitment. And in my opinion, they're all sort of like the same thing. Like, I'm down for the cause no matter what or whatever it is. So, but then the soulful, right? That's another one. So let me just finish. Let's let everyone weigh in on it. And we'll just go. Thank you, Sister Shauna.
You're welcome.
Sister Mai.
Hi, sorry you caught me with food in my mouth. But I'll be real quick. I disagree that we should use the word trendsetter because, number one, to me, trend means it puts me in the mindset of a fad. Like, it's something that comes and goes, it's fleeting. And I feel like this is something that we want to be permanent. We're trying to create a cultural collectivity, and this, we want this to stick. So it shouldn't be something that could possibly fleet away like a trend. And, you know, as soon as the next trend comes along, then we're off to the next thing. The other reason is because, like you said, how do you measure that? It takes too long. You'd have to see something that someone has already done. And, I mean, and then for what? And then finally, it also gives me the mindset of, or, you know, to me, it has a similar connotation to individuality. And, mm-hmm. again, I think we're trying to have a cultural collectivity. So, to me, trend is more separating than it is unifying. So I don't think, you know, if we say that we're looking for trendsetters, then it's like everybody's going to be wanting to do something separate and apart and unique to have people follow them, and that's not the direction. That, to me, is the opposite of what we're trying to do.
I definitely hear your logic in that, and I agree in large part with your logic. Let me ask you this question. In the field of economics, isn't the field of economics about setting new trends?
Yeah, but collectively. So it wouldn't be an individual characteristic that you would look for everybody to have, you know, as an individual trait, but you definitely want to have, I mean, I think a better word for that, honestly, when you talk about the economic trend setting, is just basically to be innovative. If we have innovative minds and innovative people, then we can create an economic goal that would set a trend, but it would be because of our innovation, not because we're individually trendsetters.
Sister, I think you just supported his theory. I think he meant trend setting, and you just gave him, because I was sitting there going, trend setting, economics. I'm like, what? But you just said innovative. Yes, you want to be innovative. If you technically want to start getting into it, you only want to be innovative with a portion of your portfolio that's allocated for risk and the other part of it. But we're not going to get into all of that. But, yes, I like that. Yes, like innovation, that. Innovative, but even still, what she just defined was all of that, the fad, you know, someone coming in and just being like, and we've actually had that already. So we've actually had members come in didn't pay attention to the blueprint and just said, hey, we should be doing this. And it's like, did you watch the blueprint? Because we're not about that. We're about this specifically. I was like, so I don't know what happened, but okay, so you know, a perfect example, all the people who came in, you know, believing that we were going to give them money for their businesses. Like, they just came in and just made up their own just made up their own thing because it's like, oh no, this is what, you know, this is what's going on right now. I'm not going to get into that. So that's another strike for Trendsetter. So we got Brother Leonard and Brother Vaughn. By the way, Brother George, so are you for Trendsetter or are you pro or are you con?
I'm not giving a pro or con. All I'm doing is putting these. My goal is to put these characteristics into the categories that I see, and put it out there for you guys to say, well, we'll take this, but we won't take that. So I'm not giving you
but as a member, these two would be characteristics of things that you would go out, that you would have to agree with, so that when you go and you speak to people as well, it would have to resonate with you.
I would say, like with Trendsetter, was that Sister Shauna?
Uh huh.
She made a very good transition point because I see innovative being much more inspirational and applicable to Black Lives Matter than Trendsetter. Not that I'm against Trendsetter, but I really love innovative.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Sister Ma. We got Brother Leonard.
Okay.
And then Brother Vaughn. All right. Brother Leonard. Brother Leonard. Hello, brother. All right, we're going to come back to him then. Brother Vaughn. Brother Vaughn.
What's going on? I was one of the people who said Trendsetter, and I actually, like, when saying it, I was feeling like, you know, as a whole, and I guess that's more or less where it is, because as a whole, we are going to be Trendsetters because we are going against the grain. We are doing something different. The basis of Black Wallace Matter itself is different. So, you know, we want Black to be looked at different. We got to do something different to be seen different in a different manner, in a different light. So we're going to be going against the grain. But her, who was that sister?
Sister Ma.
Like, she just ruined my hope. Like, the innovation, it just kind of, like, took over all that, really. So.
Yeah.
But now, when you say what you say, then when you say it like that, does that makes sense too, right? Because
it's the truth. It is, but it kind of, I don't know. You know what I mean? When you, like, just saying innovative, it kind of adds Trendsetter to it because, you know, it kind of puts it in there. But I don't know. You know what I mean?
Well, I'll tell you, as you were saying, so now I do recall Brother George reading that from your list,
right.
And then that's when I wrote down, like, open-mindedness. So as you were saying, right. As you were explaining it, I was saying, yeah, you need to, you know, we're going to need people. So maybe a person coming in doesn't have the innovation or the innovative ideas or whatever it is, but they have to be open-minded and willing to embrace something new. I remember writing that down as you were speaking. And Brother George, did I send those to you? I sent you a whole phrase about open mindedness, right, on my list?
You sent me quite a bit.
Okay, so what did I say specifically about being open minded? Because that's exactly what I wrote from when this brother said that.
All right, hold on. Let me read yours. I'll just read yours specifically. Okay, what you said, you didn't have open-minded in it. Let me read yours and see if it rings a bell. We all need to build this together. We need to recognize that we don't know everything. We need self-accountability and responsibility. We need to not be afraid to admit when you don't know something.
No. I mean, didn't I send you like the qualities that I had written down, that I sent you a message saying, here's some qualities from the notes that I was taking at the time when we were talking about the organization. Like, I was taking notes.
I'm sorry, brother. I'm reading from the wrong list. Yes, you did. I'm looking at it right now. Okay. Yeah. Quality of founding members we are looking for. Those who want to be part of something bigger than themselves.
Right, but what about the one about open-mindedness?
All right, let me find it.
Okay, all right, I got it. Those who are willing to have an open mind about new solutions because they understand that repeating what has been done in the past isn't going to work for us in the future. That's what I wrote when the brother said trend setting a few weeks ago.
Okay.
So,
all right.
All right, brother. Thank you, Brother Vaughn.
All right.
Brother Leonard, he's back in the queue.
Sorry, I was mute the last time. I understand trendsetter, but I would hope that we would consider, as you mentioned, because you touched on it, and I was going to say exactly what you said just before, is that we have the blueprint. And although many of us get on this call and we like what we hear, we get so motivated, part of trend setting is changing the basic foundation of the blueprint. So that's why trendsetter, and it also creates an I mentality individual, because people are going to be constantly hitting us in these meetings that we're having with new ideas. We don't need any new ideas. The blueprint says it all. So the trend has already been set by Brother Luke.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need any more trendsetters. That is the trendsetter, the blueprint.
Okay. Okay. What's your opinion on that, Brother Luke?
No, I mean, that's essentially what I was saying. Like, the blueprint is... the blueprint should be our guiding principle for everything. Now, in terms of improvement, or in light of new information, right? And then we have to make some revisions and things like that. That's the importance of having something like this, having this collectiveness. So then that way we all will be thinking about a similar type of solution. Like, so no one's coming up with something that the individual, we're figuring out, you know, how can we make revisions or additions if necessary based on what the overall goal is. So I'm in agreement with the brother saying.
Yeah, I like their concept and the way he's using that.
Okay, excellent. Brother Brother Leonard, thank you for weighing in, brother.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
All right. Okay, so continue, Brother George, on the action. So you got trendsetter, you got fearless. I got a lot of strikes against trendsetter, so I guess we're not gonna agree
on
that.
On the action, trendsetter, innovative, respectful. That's not a characteristic. That's an action. That's something we do. And I really wanted to make a point of that, because I think sometimes we just think you're respectful by just saying the word. That's going to take some mental adjusting in our community to really define and apply respectful. So that's why I put that in that category. Then there's another category, mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a mentality that we have to support these characteristics. That heart of a champion, that's the state of mind. Now, this is my proposal. So when I say this, I'm giving you my convicting statement. But that doesn't mean that it's, you know, you can't, you know, change it. You can just say that's whack, all right? But when I hear the heart of a champion, that's the state of mind. When I see fearless, That's a state of mind. Another really important one was teachable. Teachable is a state of mind. That is that's not a characteristic. That is an action. And it requires a state of mind.
Wait. Is it?
Am I going off?
You said teachable. You're saying teachable is a state of mind, or teachable is an action. Which one is it?
I see what you're saying. Yeah, teachable is a state of mind. Right.
Okay, teachable. Okay, I like that. I don't think we all have any disagreement with that.
Yeah, you're right.
What was the other thing you said? So you got heart of a champion.
Heart of a champion is a mentality. That's a mentality.
Okay, right. I have that. Right. I have that on the. So it's not a character. I think it's a character too, though.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay. All right. Teachable under mentality. Fearless. Okay. Yep. So fearless is a mentality and an action. You know, I don't even know about fearless though. Like, do we need people to be fearless?
In my opinion, I'll give you my personal opinion.
Yeah.
As a community, regardless of our socioeconomic status, we're last in everything. Positive.
Right.
So if we want to really move ahead, we are going to have to be really arrogant and fearless about moving forward. That's just my personal thinking. When I hear fearless, for me, it personally inspires me.
It does for me too. But I'm wondering if we meet someone and we tell them you have to be fearless. I think maybe that's something that most people probably haven't even considered the thought of. But we got people weighing in. Good. Oh, here we go. All right, I'm loving this tonight. Brother Mom, take it from the top, brother. I'm spinning around in my chair right now. It's like a happy little.
That's a real, like, when you think about it though, if you got a lot of fearful people, what you gonna get accomplished?
I'm into, like, you know, self improvement, motivation, things like that, and I go and I've been having that drilled into me since forever. But when I look out into the real world and when I speak to people and when I see them not doing some of the things that they could do, it's fear. It's like there is absolutely no reason why you shouldn't be doing this. And so it's like fear.
That's what's stopping them, fear.
Right. Yeah, fear. And so I'm wondering if we go and we say to them that this is a qualification, if they haven't overcome their personal battle and struggle, and it's a constant thing with fear too, though, right? So it's not like you're ever totally completely failing, because I'm a pretty freaking forward guy, and I have fears about certain things, and to the degree where it doesn't allow me to act as fast, as swift, or whatever it is. So I'm just wondering, is that something that we want to go talk to someone? And so let's say if you approach them, and let's say if we have cards that have these qualities or these things on it, this mentality, and we ask them, are you fearless?
There's a step in between there, Lou. I hear what you're saying, Brother Lou, but there's a step in between there as we go through these characteristics, and once we define these and decide whatever paradigm we're putting these in, that we first have to apply these to us.
Right.
Before we go out there and try to attract those from others. So just keep that in mind.
And listen, like, you gotta think, like, us as a whole, one thing we're going to be doing is setting a trend to be fearless, because what people didn't have before is a backing of 400 people that all have the same mindset, that are feeling the same way and have the same understanding of. So now I don't have to go talk to these people like, oh man, they're going to shoot me down and I ain't going to be able to. Now I'm going to talk to these people. I'm going to talk to these people with Black Wall Lives Matter as my backing. And like it's a different type of, like, you have to have it'll change. We're going to change people's feelings on fear. Cause like you said, the for the most part, what stop people from doing everything is fear.
You're paralyzed by fear.
It does. Yeah. And when we talking to these people and we say the characteristic of fearless, we gonna let them know, like, you have a reason to be now. Before,
you know what, you know the story that keeps, when I see the word fearless, the story that keeps playing in my mind is house nigga versus field nigga.
Oh yeah. yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Vaughn. Appreciate you weighing in on that. Sister Rhonda.
Brother George, did you not say arrogant? Did you not say arrogant?
Yes, I do say arrogant.
Okay. And I'm saying I don't think being arrogant is good. What I do think is excellent is being assertive, because when you're assertive, you're able to stand by what you say because you know what you're saying by being respectful. See, I'm not going to come to a person with an arrogance. When I talk to them, they're going to know I know, and they're going to understand I'm being respectful. So I'm never going to disrespect a person. But by what I present to them and tell them, they have no ins, ands, or bouts. It's going to be, well, they must know what they're talking about. Let me go do my homework. See, I'm just not into arrogance and all that, because it doesn't solve anything for me except for a big back and forth. Oh, she don't like this, he don't like that. I will be assertive.
I understand what you're saying, and I agree with everything you're saying. When I use the word arrogance,
uh-huh.
I don't see arrogance as a negative trait.
Okay.
Arrogance has been used negatively. I agree with you
right.
on that. And
right.
I can understand why you feel that, because nobody wants to be associated with a negative trait. So I definitely 100% agree with you. I just don't personally see arrogance in the context that Black Wallace, from an economic standpoint, I don't see arrogance as a bad trait. I see that as a positive trait to make yourself in the game. But
okay.
I definitely hear you, Sister Rhonda, and you don't have to like that word, but I just put it out there.
Yeah, I hear you, and I understand what you're saying. You're saying in the form of economics, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Well, I can buy that then. How much is going to cost me?
How about funny. How about unapologetic? Now, I think that's a little bit. I think that is kind of like, maybe Sister Ma was probably going to come up with that good when I beat it to the punch. I think it's really what we're looking for is unapologetic. It's like, yeah, we're Black, we're this, we're worried about ourselves. I don't care about what you're talking about. I'm talking about in terms of like this arrogant thing, like I don't know.
That actually flew over
my head though. But I do like unapologetic. I do like the mentality of unapologetic. I really do. I mean, right now.
Me too.
We need that. Right, we need that. Because there are going to be circumstances or situations where you're going to encounter certain people, and they may try to make you feel bad about, like you said, like Sister Rhonda said, asserting your pro-Blackness or whatever.
Right.
It's like, nah, listen, I don't hate you. I just love me and mine.
That's
all it is.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, cool. Thank you, Sister Rhonda.
You're welcome.
Sister Ma. Hello, sister?
Yes, yes. You know you took the words out of my mouth. I definitely always say I'm unapologetically Black. But additionally, instead of arrogance, I think a good word is confidence. But on the topic of, or having confidence, but on the topic of the word fearful or fearless, I think that saying that we're fearless is a good thing, because when I think of that, I think of it in terms of not being afraid to be a part of this organization for fear of backlash. And also for fear of, like the COINTELPRO, like you won't be bought out. You won't, you know, allow it to be infiltrated, you know, or you won't be one of those people who, because you're afraid of what somebody tells you they're going to do to you or your family or whatever on the outside, that you're going to, you know, sabotage and do something from the inside, you know, to tear it apart from the inside, pretending to be one of us when you're really working for or being paid by or whatever them. So to me, so I think being fearless in that sense is necessary. I don't know that it's something that, I mean, I think maybe we should say it and then, but define it. Like, exactly what do you mean by fear, you know? As with all of these things, that was the other thing I wanted to say before, is that I just feel like, you know, how do we measure any of these for the most part? It's like you don't really know until you spend time, until it's proven, until they've, you know, like, how do you know if somebody's loyal or committed until they've stuck with you for a minute, you know? So that's to me, that's going to be the challenging part, is to really not only ask people, do they have these characteristics, or say, if you have these characteristics, we want you, but we won't know until, you know, it just takes time to really know. So I think fearless is a good thing.
The thing about the fear, right? There was we had a call. This was a Thursday call a few months back, and someone even mentioned like what you were saying, like what about if they do this, and what about if they do that? And I was like, yo, man, we're not gonna sit here and waste our time, you know, being scared and work. Yeah. And then the whole call wound up being about freaking fear. I was like, yo, you gotta be kidding me. And people were legitimately scared, and we were like, So I guess maybe like the thing that they say, in, you know, the way they think, because I mean, I get a lot of people that send me emails and stuff, and was like, well, what about if the organization is infiltrated, and you know, I work for such and such, and I don't want my boss to know about this. And, you know, like, so people do have concerns. So, you know, I don't know.
And you know what? Those type of fears, I wouldn't call them fears. Something like that I would call a reality that we need to form a strategy to. Now, I know that's kind of off track, but that is a reality, you know. And that might be something that we want to take some time to talk about. Because as Black Wallace Matter grows, we will become an economic threat. And that doesn't make it a bad thing. This is a game of economics, and everybody is trying to get in everybody else's head to take them off the game. So maybe that could be looked at as forming a strategy for that.
Yeah, I think it is a fear of backlash too. But, okay, thank you. That's all I have.
All right. Okay, Brother George.
Okay. So, still under the term of mentality, open to new things.
Okay, so open-mindedness.
Open-mindedness.
Okay.
That sounds great and lovely, but, you know, human beings are wired to fear and not like change. Open-mindedness represents change.
I know. But you can't teach it. You can't teach it. You can't coax it. You can't coax it out of them. So you have to find this. I think that's a strong like-minded trait, though.
there's a term therapeutically. I was going to say this toward the end. I'm sure you've heard this, Brother Lou. It's called emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to get into that just yet. That is a strategic set of techniques that I think would go well in employing all of these characteristics that we're talking about. But I want to really just stay on what we're describing right now. But open-mindedness, that's a powerful piece. And it's given a lot of lip service, but the reality is that it takes it, you need to be fearless to be open-minded, because that means you need to be willing to put your current thought process to the side for a minute to honestly entertain the way someone else sees it. That's not as easy to do as it might seem. Or, you know, sick. Then I like this other one. This is a mentality, and I think it leans well to our culture. Witty. Being able to go with the flow. Being able to give it back as good as you get it. I like that. There's something about that I like, and I just threw that in there. As a mentality. Then,
go ahead. All right, so giving it back as good as you get it, I don't know if that's witty. It that could be wit, right? So that could be, you know, you sharp on your toe, but I don't think that's a prerequisite.
I don't think that's a prerequisite
for the kinds of people that we're looking for. Because see, that's something that's also a thing like talent, right? You either got it or you don't. You don't need to be, you don't need to really have talent to be part of this organization. You probably have a talent that you probably don't even recognize as talent. And, right? And that's something that we wouldn't be able to control. Same thing with being witty, right? Witty is not, you know, that's timing, that's sharp on your toes. The vast majority of humans don't have that. So,
I hear what you're saying. I just still like it, though. I like it, but yeah, I hear what you're saying.
All right.
The next piece, this is why I'm doing this work, okay? So I'm going to say it out here, but this is why I'm doing this work, because this is really important. Love of self. That's the mentality.
Yeah, love of self, absolutely. But I think also love of others too. Love of our people.
Right.
Love of self. Yeah.
It has to. It has to start with self.
Yes, I agree.
So I thought that to me is the keeper, for sure. Another category under mentality, a strong sense.
Sister Shauna wants to weigh in on that.
Okay, cool.
Yes, sister.
Hey. So, love of self, that's a tricky one.
Yeah, it is.
And you know, don't hate me. A lot of people seek out organizations like this because they're looking for something to belong to. And when people are seeking something to belong to, a lot of times they have, like, internal problems. And one of those internal problems is usually not understanding how to care for themselves and love themselves. Or they feel unloved and they're looking for a group to latch on to love them back, to give them something back that they feel that they're missing. So I don't know if I would not introduce this organization to someone because they're not feeling love for themselves. I just don't know if I would do that. I think they could gain that through the confidence of the people that they're surrounded through if they decide. And more than likely, people that sound like that are going to want to participate in some kind of way or be active in some kind of way because they're looking for someone to love them.
Right.
And
yeah.
So I don't know if I could decline. I would say not to accept or sign that as it's something we need to be looking for. I don't know. That's a tricky one.
I definitely know what you're saying. I agree with you because I would say, not that I'm the expert, but I would say to a large degree, many in our community don't have a true love of self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I would agree with you.
That was the other point I was going to make, is that, like, that's the biggest, one of the biggest issues that we have as a community. It's love of self. You know, even if we don't know, that's what the issue is. So, I don't know, that was just my comment when you said that. I was like,
I don't know. I hear you because it's a tricky one, like you
That's
said.
That's just my thought.
I'm feeling
my
you.
Thoughts.
I'm feeling you on that.
All right. Thanks. That's all I have to say about it.
All right. God, Brother George, continue.
Okay. So still in mentality, another characteristic. Is a strong sense of duty that really stuck out to me.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you this. I was being witty. I had a joke that popped right in my head when you said duty, but I'm not going to say it on the call. You just said it. You said a strong sense to the duty. So, well, let me not even.
Come on,
that's all I'm going on a joke. You said be witty. You said humor.
I hope I don't sound like that on the recording, bro. I'm gonna be still checking that out.
Go ahead. A strong sense of duty. Got it.
Strong sense of duty because. It is an obligation.
Yes.
So it's an obligation. We're talking about an economic goal to get to an economic number to create an economic outcome. And this isn't just for shits and giggles. Pardon my French. This is life building. You know, we're trying to produce something here for sure. So then I moved to, and then Brother Lou, I just now added your word unapologetic and confidence to that mentality in those categories. So then the last outcomes or section is outcome that people's characteristics to me seem to resemble. To educate young people, to educate our community. That should be an outcome of our organization.
Okay, so you said, so we're on outcomes now. Okay, hold on.
Yes.
Hold on for a second. To educate. All right, now I have to be contrarian here.
Okay.
I wish Brother Cujo was on the call.
Me
when
too.
I went, so at the onset, right, he used to keep telling me, you know, we gotta educate, and I'm like, yeah, I don't have time to be sitting down and trying to educate. I gotta find people who are already thinking like this, you know, so that way we can move fast. Because if you go through the education process, one, I mean, you don't. I may not be a good teacher, they may not be a good student, or whatever, but. I do think.
Let me just
add my final part though, and then you can weigh in on that.
Right.
But the part of shaping the mind, shaping the mind. It is kind of like education. Like, so he pointed that out to me, but I was making the distinction of shaping, right? And so it's like to me when I think of education, I think of, okay, so you have this format, and then you teach it to the people, and then you correct them when they're wrong and things like that. But if we have these children and we're shaping their mind, they actually don't learn, or they won't learn some of the other negative things. They'll have constant positive reinforcement. And he was like, that is kind of like educating. But I was like, I'm talking about creating it where it's just like I was mentioned earlier, you know, it's a social norm. It just becomes the way that you are. And so you develop into becoming a more productive and positive person. And I don't know if that could be really considered like just directly education. And that's just my, you know, that's a conversation that him and I had all the time.
Brother Luke, I can see that's beautiful. Shaping the mind. Yes, that's beautiful, man. I don't know what everybody else says on that. I know one of the sisters had said to educate our young people about the positive contributions of our society. I definitely felt what she was saying. However, the verbiage you just used, it's much more organic. That's the more organic process. Mm-hmm. I really love that.
And that's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of a more organic process. I'm not thinking of it being rigid, and, you know, I'm thinking of it being natural and flowing. And so that way, that's who the children be. That, you know, they embody what it is. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's really what it is. Because all the negative traits that we have now, we have embodied them. It's a lot of the stuff is knee jerk. You know, a lot of the stuff is just like knee jerk reaction. And so we have to. And then that's also the indoctrination process that we've undergone, right? So they didn't just, you know, they didn't just say go from 0 to 60. They shaped our minds. They warped our minds. It was over a period of time. It was over a period of time.
Dr. Bobby White calls the term menticide.
What is it?
Complete menticide. Google him up, Dr. Bobby White. I'll send you a link on it. One of the first black psychologists who built his first medical practice in Chicago, Illinois, was a total radical, was a total trendsetter, Dr. Bobby White. And he created the term menticide, where one culture totally eradicates the mindset of another culture for its demise. So what you're saying is right on point.
Right. Anyone else wants to weigh in on education versus shaping and molding the mind? If no one has anything to say, we'll move on with that, shaping the mind. All right, got that outcome. Okay, go ahead, brother.
Okay. Leadership was one of the terms, and someone used the even more specific category of participative leadership, which I think, Brother Lou, I don't know if you intended this or not, but your style really lends itself to participative leadership. And the reason that it stuck out to me as an outcome is because the typical paradigm of most quote-unquote black organizations is that it is centered around a person, not a system. So as goes the person, goes the organization. In my short time working with you so far, even though you are a strong leader with a strong vision, you have no problems transitioning leadership in or delegating leadership in other areas as long as those people show due diligence and credibility. And participative leadership is a much more effective model to address a systemic issue.
Love it. You done menticized me, brother. All right. you just worked your magic on
like
me.
Like I said, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if that was intentional or not on your part. It just seems to be your natural style. But you're very confident.
No. It's very much intentional. It is from me studying other organizations and how they failed. It's from me studying what failed and what has worked. And I mean, so on the Thursday calls, I say this all the time. I tell people, I'm like, we don't need, you know, the charismatic leader sitting there saying, let's do this, let's do that. We need the system. And I say, well, point me to the leader of the Jewish community. Point me to the leader of the LGBT community. Point me to the leader of the Latino community. You can't do it. You can't do it. It's a system. They have a system, and the wheel just turned. And that's what we need. We need that. I mean, I'm telling you that I am 100% convinced that is what, because that's the thing that we have never done as a people. That's the thing that we have never done as a people that everybody else is doing and winning.
That's
really what it is.
Yes.
And so I'm like, you know, we got to get there. The only thing, though, right, it's like it takes an intrepid group of brothers and sisters to get out there to build that, to make the sacrifice, and put it into play, have it build up, and be able to enjoy the satisfaction that you were able to build something. Right. And I realize that, you know, I realize that that's not going to resonate with everyone. And then what I just said is something, it's probably another trait too, right? So selflessness, I didn't hear that on the thing. Selflessness is one of the key character traits that's going to have to be. So let me see where it would piggyback with, I guess, like along with the sense of duty. I guess maybe sense of duty / selflessness.
Okay.
Mentality. Yeah, that is a mentality. But actually, no, it would have to be a characteristic.
Yeah, it would have to be. It can be mentality, but it can be a character trait too.
Yeah, selflessness. And brothers and sisters, I would appreciate you guys weighing in on that, the selflessness. Anyone who is not selfless, please identify yourself. Tell us why you are not. I 100% believe that's what it is. That's what our community, like, so, I see you, Brother Vaughn. A perfect example, while I was talking to the brother, somebody called Black Wallace Matter. I was talking to the sister, and everything was, you know, everything was sounding good. And then I told her, I was like, you know, because what the problem that our community has that other communities have, or the thing that our community doesn't have, the others, they have an economic center. They have a way that they have the money, and it's pumping and it's circulating, and it doesn't really belong to anyone. It belongs to their people. It's just their way. Even if it's a communal pot, even if it's, you know, you see what I'm saying? Like, they have communal pots. They have the Jewish community has, like, the synagogue. The synagogue becomes, like, the financial, cultural epicenter of that neighborhood, of that community. And that's what we do not have. Now, you think about it. You go into a Jewish community, the synagogue is usually one of the most beautiful buildings. And, I mean, like, in New York, these things, when I say beautiful, I mean, like, with that reflective glass that, you know, so you can, they can see out, but you can't see in, and, you know, all of this stuff, right, looks like something in Manhattan. They built that. They built that for themselves. They built that. They send their kids to the school. That's where they go to worship. They have dances there. They do all these other different things at this place.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the money that goes into it, they're able to make no interest loans to each other and all kinds of stuff that they do.
And that's
being selfless.
Mm.
So we got Brother Vaughn. Hold on, Brother Vaughn. Yes, brother.
I was going to comment on the participative leadership.
Uh-huh.
And the way he was basically saying, like really, that's going to be
a trendsetter in a sense, because
yeah,
that's not something we do. Like, as a whole, we don't. It's one at the top, and then and like you said, that's why everything fails, because you cut off the head and then everything dies. But if you got 10,000 heads, like, all right, where you start cutting that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that right there, like, that's going to be real big as far as the organization goes. And people, you know, become the start of this thing and help us get this thing going. Because just how you are on the phone on these calls and stuff like that, like, you, I mean, I even heard you say, I'm not going to be the only one talking. I'm not going to just sit over here and talk for 2 hours. You know what I mean? Right. We're all here together. We need to hear y'all input. And we're trying to build this. We are trying to build this together. I've even said things. You stop and correct me now. No, stop. Wait before you even get going. Like, this is us. We're doing this together from the start. So it's like, it's new to you. It's new to me. It's new to the brothers and sisters that's on the call. It's new to us all. So we have to participate so that we can stay on that same level playing, because I don't want nobody sitting back and getting madder and madder every time they hear me talk and more and more steam because they don't like what I'm saying or something like that. And then it don't come out until we 2 years down the line and the biggest business meeting we've ever had, and they don't want to hear me speak no more. And let's get that out the way right now, you know? So participate and, you know what I mean? Like, don't. So that's real big as far as us being different and us moving forward and doing something that's never been done.
Totally agree, absolutely, brother.
Yep, I'm on the same page. All right, we got 7 minutes left, Brother George. I'm gonna let you finish the list. I guess I guess you and I could
just two more. It's just two more.
All right.
Two more.
There you go.
Outcome.
All right, brother.
Outcome. A collective culture. Now, I see this. That can be interpreted so many ways. Collective culture doesn't mean that we agree on everything.
Right.
Collective culture does not mean that we all believe in all of the same things. But the example that Brother Lou used with regard to the other cultures is having a communal pot. That's collectivity. So that we have the ability to have our disagreements without fear of losing our quality of life, or take experiments to go off with different directions. Everybody else is doing it but us. We do not have an organized, cohesive, collective culture. So I want to put that out there. Is anybody lighting up on that?
Well, I'll just say this before we move forward. Sister Maya is already in the queue. But what I will say is, when we say, of my understanding, that I want to communicate to everyone, is not for Black people as a whole, for this organization.
Because
we first have to be the example or be the trendsetter. Jesus, man, that the word keep coming up. But we have to be the examples. Yeah, we have to be the innovators, the pioneers. But we have to do it in unison, and it has to be amongst the organization. So now so I see a few people here who have not participated, who have not weighed in, and I am really curious. I want everyone to understand that this is not an exercise for you to sit back and say, well, let me see what happens. What we are attempting to do is identify who we are as a group. And so if there's something that has been said tonight that you do not agree with, that does not resonate with your character, you know, with who you are, who you know you are as a person, then by all means, speak up. Give us more input, because we may be overlooking something. You may have a character trait or a quality that we have, but, you know, maybe it's not dominant. Maybe we're not thinking about it right now. And so if that is the case, then I would like to invite you, you know, to participate and to voice your opinion on what's going on here, because essentially, we want to sit down, we want to compile this list together, and then distribute it amongst the organization and say, hey, pass this along, share this on your social media. But we don't want you sharing something like open-mindedness and unapologetic and fearless, to your family and friends when they're like, what are you talking about? You're a closed-minded wimp or something like that. Like, if you know that's not your personality, but you have some other strengths, please weigh in, because once we compile this list, this is what the organization will be distributing. This will be part of our message on our brochures and whatever else we put out there in the world. So I just want to say that I'm not going to pick on anyone, but you guys normally know I will. I'll just unmute your mic in a hot second and just be like, hey, what do you think? But I'm not going to do that. I'm just hoping everyone just jumps in right before we shut it down. Sister Ma. Yes.
I just wanted to comment on the leadership part and just say that I read somewhere, and I've internalized it, and it was many years ago, so I don't remember what book I read it in, but the way to measure, the best measurement of a successful leader or the leadership of any successful organization is how that organization runs when they're dead and gone. This is what, I feel like this is, without being trendy, a movement to create, culture, collectivity that we as African Americans have never had, because our culture, as we know, was stripped when we were first brought to this country. So the only culture we really knew and grew into was the basically white European culture. And sure. So that everything that was dangled in front of us as being successful and something to aspire to was white, was what they did. And we've had, even though we're supposedly free, generation after generation has been born still into that mindset, into trying to fit into their culture or become what they've defined as success. So we are truly creating something new and trying to really, come together as a collective and emulate other cultures that have that cultural collectivity, but it's something we've never had. So I have to be mindful to, be patient, but also to realize that this organization needs good leadership like Lou, that is a good leader who empowers other leaders, because it will have, we've been here for 500 years and we don't have it, so we're not going to get it in this generation in our lifetime. So we really need to continually build up other leaders to succeed us after we're gone. And finally, that, what was the other point? I just threw a blank. I apologize. I think it was something else I wanted to piggyback on. I think it was Brother Vaughn said, but I can't remember now. So if there's anybody else in the queue, you can go ahead. And if I remember it, I'll come back in.
All right. Thank you, sister. Appreciate it. Okay. Brother Leonard.
Yes, I'm here. I wanted to weigh in on the cultural collectivity. There's a two-part here. What we're doing is we're developing a cultural collectivity, and if you look at it in terms of your blueprint, the thing that you talk about the most is the resource center for our next generation. What makes a culture of collectivity, it is something that cannot be broke by any other race, number one. Number two, it is our identity. So if I were to say to everybody on the call, what do you know about Hispanic culture? Do they have jobs? Do they hesitate to be home? Are they at the gas station selling oranges or strawberries? Do they do these things? I've studied Armenians. You mentioned the Jewish, okay? But I studied Armenians, Filipinos, Hispanic, and Koreans. So their cultural collectivity cannot be shaken. They have things that they do consistently throughout their culture. So for us, that is what we're putting together right now, but an unbreakable bond. And the teachable
yes.
part that you,
yes.
that you share is to teach us that, but we also have to buy into it, and that's the part that makes Lou very, very interesting and important as a leader. As you mentioned, as Vaughn said, everybody's going to talk, because we already know, as a psychiatrist yourself, that they have input. And you're making sure that everybody has input and that we know the personality that we're developing as Black Wallace Matter.
Yes, well said. Well said.
Yep, I'm glad you said that, the personality that we're developing. Yep, that's exactly what it is. I mean, to summarize it, so like you said, well, what does the Latino community do, and what do, you know, these other people? It's like, what does, you know, a member of Black Wallace Matter do? It's kind of
right.
sort of that. All right, thank you so much, brother. Brother Leonard.
You're welcome.
Sister Latasha. Yes, sister.
Yes, I came to the call late, and I do apologize, but I haven't heard another key component is passion, because if we as a collective and people that we're looking at has a passion for this movement that we're in the process of creating, then I think that would be like a bonus, because that's one of the reasons why I joined, because I have passion about this. I want to, you know, educate our culture. I was just looking for the how, and you all are, you know, we coincide, you know, and it helps
you.
Do you personally
consider yourself passionate with regard to the mission of Black Wallace Matter?
I personally do, yes.
I think that's a really good point. When I look at the list, to me, that passion comes close to commitment, which is
mm-hmm.
under character, the category of character. I'm going to write passion in. I'll let you all discuss it now or later. But, yeah, I agree with you that you have to have a passion for this. I would say Brother Lou is very
I don't even know if passion is commitment, though. I think it's like the fire. It's like the motivation to get you up and going.
Yeah.
I think. So let's just put passion/motivation, and we will revisit that. So we have, thank you, sister. That was, and you're 100% right. You're 100% right. And I'm sure something like that was discussed, in the past. Maybe we just overlooked it. So, because the passion does ring true, and I don't even know, like, how we miss that. Yeah, that's, man, if you don't have passion, you're not even going to even embark on this.
It's not even going to work,
mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, sister. All right?
Okay, thank you.
So we got Brother Jeff, Brother Leon, and then we're going to end it with Sister Mai. Brother Jeff?
Yes, Brother. Brother Lou, I want to touch on the point of the education, sharpening the mind. Like you said, the blueprint, the resource centers, and the education of our people is going to be really important. With the economic part of it, the money part is the key thing, because like we lack in like the knowledge of the use of insurance to create wealth, and these different venues and things that people just don't have. Knowledge of anything, they barely got money in their bank accounts. So it's like, what I want to say is like, I don't know if y'all read it. I seen the day, like, they had a little article. I seen the day about Joe Smith, the basketball player, had $60 million, and now he got $3,000 in his bank account. And I was reading Dr. Claude Anderson, and he wrote, we make money and we work, and like the ball players, entertainers, they make money to raise their income, but they don't make that money to increase their wealth or their generational wealth and things like that. And that's what we do every day when we go to work. We just work to raise our income. We're trying to make $100,000. We're not trying to leave $100,000. So that's like yesterday, I did two insurance policies, one for myself and one for my grandbaby. And I got others I've been done, but this is just what I've done. So it's just, that's something, like you said, the education, we got to get the ball rolling on that. So that's one of the key things I like in the blueprint. But that's all.
I like that. I like it, brother.
All right, thank you. And then Brother Leon.
Thank you, that Brother Lou, and I enjoyed the conversation. I learned a lot, and I was looking at some things that this is a question that I'd like to see if we can do. We talked about different words like, say, passion and trendsetter. If we could collectively define, like, say, what trend means. I'm talking just like going to the Webster Dictionary and then agreeing on, this is what trendsetter means. This is how I define it. And then say passion. And then we define that now on a collectively, we're going after the same, what's the definition of passion, that we're going to agree on, or we're going to tear it up and we're going to create our own definition. But at the end of the day, we're going to have a mindset on the words that we already consider accountability, and the loyalty, things of that nature. We as a group have agreed that, this is what we're about. And we all talk the English language, so using the dictionary, what happens is that we're going to come up with what's the standard for definition for these words we're talking about. And at that point, we're in a position where we can redefine it, okay? But we're going to be on one page because it could take a little more time, but I was just asking if we could do that. And we have defined a lot of them, but by saying this is what we as a group, Black Wallets Matter, this is what we consider passion. Now, collectively, as we're coming up with a dialogue, when we talk to a person, we don't even have to ask them a question. It's going to be, what come out of us, We'll recognize that in that person. They will know how to, say, talk to that person or react with that person. But I was asking if we could do that, and it could take a little time, but by us all agreeing that this is what a trend study is, okay, at that point, this is what we as Black Wallet believe a trend set is. And by just defining it, I'd agree with it or I don't agree with it, we'll go with that. And then that way that's one point. And one other thing I wanted to say is that we talked about the Jews and everything, how they do things. Well, I always heard that it's okay to copy as long as you copy the right cat, okay? So they got a good system, so we copy the good things from them and use that. But I just want to throw those two things in.
Brother, that was a very excellent point, and I just put the note there. We should have defined. So we should have used these words, and then we should have defined them. We should have. And you're right; it is going to take a little bit more time. But I guess this is the engagement series, and that's what the purpose is. So you've just given Brother George some homework for next week because I just wrote it down. But Brother George, I will forward it to you. So, thank you, Brother Leon. Anything else, brother? Anything else you want, brother?
Be quiet, bro.
You want to support with that too, bro? You want citations and everything else? Let me know, brother.
Look here, brother. Brother, I'm in my car. If you can send me one of those batteries on my house alarm, I'll be happy. Come in my car and not do this again.
All right, cool. Thank you so much, brother.
All right, bro. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to take Sister Mai, then we're going to shut it down. It's 11 o'clock. Sister.
Sorry, I was trying to take myself back out of the queue. Can you hear me now?
Oh, okay. Yep, I can hear you.
All right. I was trying to take myself back out of the queue. I don't really need to talk again. But it was about economics and just how we don't have – it's been said enough. I don't really need to repeat it. We just need to pass on some money, tangible assets to the next generation and continue that in order to be like these other cultures. They were able to come here and bring their money with them and bring their culture with them. It was never stripped. So and we just want. So we're, you know, we're literally starting at zero. And we need
But I know a few of them. I know a few of them who came here with no money. I've witnessed it. I know some people who have come here with no money and have been able to. I know three guys, matter of fact, who have stores. They came. One guy couldn't even get a store in another Arab. So he looks like a regular Arab guy, but he's from, where was he from? I think he was from Morocco. And the rest of those guys are like from Yemen or something like that. Or it's something. Oh, he's from Somalia and they from Yemen. I don't know what it is. But they didn't accept mm-hmm. him. And he said, okay. And he went out and was, I think he worked at a car wash or whatever it was. No, that's the other African guy, this young African guy. Worked at a car wash, saved up the money to go buy a building and do whatever else. This same guy, he went, he did a bunch of little odd jobs. He wound up getting a job cleaning out houses and apartments, and then he started taking the appliances out of them, cleaning up the appliances, selling the appliances, saved up enough money, you know, sleeping wherever he can on, you know, on people's couches, little rooms at the shelter, saved his money, bought him a store, set up a little room in the back of his store. Now he lives and sleeps in the store and runs that, and then now he has another store, and he has rental properties and stuff like that. I mean, from...
Well, he even... Okay, so that there are some stories like that, too, but he did bring a work ethic with him. He brought something with him that made him successful that we just don't.
Yeah, but
you know
but
I mean? That means...
But, like,
that.
But see, all right, so here's my thing. When we start talking about what other people... Like when we start to, like, we have to really understand we have to really understand where we are. When I was younger, black folks had a good work ethic, the vast majority of us. We all know a lot of men, you know, sisters, mothers and fathers and things back in those days worked two and three jobs. They had a serious work ethic. Matter of fact, when the father came home after working his 24, 48 hours or whatever jobs, is you got to be quiet in the house because your pops are sleeping. And then when he get up, you know, he might play with the kids a little bit. He might grunt. He's going to eat his food, and then he's off to his other job or whatever it was. That was the norm, you know, in my community, in my environment. We have to understand that crack has really, really hurt us. It really, really did. Crack really, really destroyed our community. But we can't use the excuse and say, oh, because they had this layup. Other people they didn't have a layup. And I'm telling you this from a business perspective. Business is hard. Doesn't matter how much money you got. It does unless you had a silver spoon in your mouth or whatever it is, business is hard. Even if you think about like the guys who run the businesses, the stores and stuff like that in the hood. I mean, you know what the guys are like in the hood. You know what it's like in the hood. That's not an easy job. And they do this religiously. In my hood, I mean, they have like two or three guys, and they when they were doing the 24-hour thing and put the gate down and, you know, sell from the glass or whatever, 24 hours, these guys are literally in there sleeping, taking shifts in the store.
Wow.
So,
but you know
yeah.
why they do that? I just had this conversation last night. They do it because they know that despite our the reality of how the hoods are, you know, dangerous, basically, and they are risking their lives and risking being robbed and all of that by setting up shop in our neighborhood. It is out the fact that we spend money the way we do and as fast as we get it and don't care who we give it to, that takes precedence. That's more of a priority and more of an attraction for them to put up with all of that they have to put up with to get our money because they know we're going to spend it. So their bottom line is we're going to get the money, and it's worth it to them. And why? Because we're so predictable and dependable that, you know, and reliable that we will spend money. And we just need to think like that and realize that, you know, we need to be capitalizing on our habits ourselves.
That's the whole point. That's my thinking. It's not, oh, they, you know, it's not that they're exploiting us. It's nothing. That is the, it's, we can't blame them for being smart. Actually, I know they call us liquid money. Like, we're going to just get it and give it. That's what they say.
Yeah.
We can't be mad at that. We have to realize
right.
that, hey, what we need to engineer a system or a way to capitalize, like you said, capitalize on our own spending. That's essentially what the shopping portal is for. That's essentially what the whole blueprint, you know, everything is about. It's about just capitalizing on existing behavior. So that way we're not, you know, swimming upstream or swimming against the current. But listen, that is, it is 11:16.
Let me end it with one thing, though, real quick, Brother Lou. Sorry to interject. Is it okay to do that?
Yeah, knock it out, brother.
That last statement directly supports the last trait, which I say for last because it's ultimately what this is about, I think, for us as a community, which is to support black.
So that's the outcome?
Pardon? That is an outcome.
Okay.
That means that's what this is all leading to support black in order to have a collective movement. And so to sum this all up, we're starting as if we're looking for those that have the characteristics, but I'm challenging you all first to assess yourself where you are on these characteristics once we've agreed on them. In order to do that, there is an exercise in my book. It's on page, for those who have it, it's on page 57. If you don't have it, it's up to you based on how this conversation has moved you in terms of where you fall on these characteristic lists. I would strongly urge you to procure the book and do this exercise because you first have to do an assessment on yourself if you want to authentically attract the type of people with the characteristics and behaviors that we have been discussing for the last 2 hours. So again, page 57.
Well, brother, I think what we should do is, we have the list as
okay.
as you outlined it. Like Brother Leon said, I think we need to define it. We should define some of these things, and then we need to give everyone the list so that they'll have it.
Okay.
Because I don't think anyone is taking notes like the way you and I have.
I'll go ahead and write these out the way that I put them, and that'll at least be a rough draft. I just wanted to make sure that we understand that first we have to examine ourselves before we go outward. That's what I honestly believe.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Brothers and sisters, this has been a very good call. I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. I want to thank Brother George for leading us on another exploratory phone call so we can find out more about ourselves and as an organization. Have a good night.
All right, good night, brothers and sisters.
Good night, brothers and sisters.
Night.
Good night, family.
Appreciate y'all. Good night, brothers and sisters.
All right.